Welcome to What's On Joe Mine. It's a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. It's basically what happens when three guys have too much time on their hands and talk about what's on their Joe Minds. I'm Gary, a.k.a. Commander-in-Chief. Joining me on the Skype line is Greg, a.k.a. Crosshair, and Chuck, a.k.a. ChuckDog1999. How's it going, fellas?
Howdy, howdy.
Good evening, gentlemen. Always nice to hear from you.
Hey, if you folks out there listen to our first podcast, we really appreciate it. If you have a question for the show, a comment, or just general feedback, head on over to joeclassified.com, go into the blah, the blah, blah off-topic form. Yes, that's what it's called, blah, the blah, blah, that's what it was named. Find the What's On Joe Mine thread and post. You can also PM us on the classified, just look for our aliases. And you can also find our podcasts on whatsonjoemine.podbean.com and also now on iTunes. Yes, the Big Apple's hosting us. It's just going to be a little while before you see our links pop up because we're under review right now. But you can now find our stuff here eventually here on iTunes. So that's some pretty big news. So woo, with all that said, let's get it rolling. But before I turn it over to Greg to recap what we covered in the pilot, let's talk about the feedback we've gotten this far. What'd you guys think of the pilot, Greg?
I thought it went pretty well. And I want to thank everyone for all the feedback we've gotten already. It seems like we've had quite a few people downloading it and listening to it on their commute. So thank you for that. Chuck, what'd you think?
I have to say, I mean, I'm really, really touched because, you know, this is something I wanted to do for a long time because I just felt Joe fans didn't have, like, a podcast for news and discussion and stuff like that. And the fact that everyone has taken to it so quickly and really positively, it really makes me feel good. And, you know, don't think you have to sugarcoat anything. If you think something stinks, let us know because we'll change it. We're here for you.
Hey, well put. I thought that despite the production value of everything with, you know, my iPod or my iPhone making a sound, Outlook making a sound from Exchange, my daughter walking in the room, everyone was overly gracious about their kind words and what they had to say about the show. So we appreciate it. And again, all your feedback is most welcome. Again, head on over to joetoclassified.com and find us in the forums. And just if you have something you want us to talk about, you know, put it there in a thread, and we'd be happy to bring it up as a topic of discussion. So now, with all that out of the way, now it's on to Greg for the recap of last episode.
All right, so last week we talked a little bit about the Sky Striker price point at Target, which will be at $35, according to a couple people that looked into the Target computers. And then we also discussed the Hasbro Roundtable at the G.I. Joe convention, specifically the roundtable of unreleased items, the prototypes and schematics, stuff like that. And then we talked also about the quarter one stock reports for Hasbro and how well they're doing as a company. And then we finished up by discussing a little bit of Wave 6 that we just seen pictures of. And now people are actually getting in hand, and actually they're starting to see them in stores now, which is pretty cool.
All right. So what is the first topic of what's on Joe Mind?
All right. Number one on my Joe Mind is the Canadian G.I. Joe Convention, which is coming up this summer. I know that Gary said that he's been to a couple before, and I'll actually get to make my first one this summer as well. So, Gary, you just want to give us a little background on what the G.I. Joe Convention for Canada is all about?
Yeah. First of all, the convention up there is 100% fan-driven. It's by the fans, for the fans. Basically, it started off as as any other really Joe meet does. It's just a couple guys getting together wanting to talk about Joe. Eventually it spawned into, you know, people, you know, doing exclusive figures that are actually pretty highly sought after on the internet. If you wanted to ever find the original Joe Canuck figure, be prepared to shell out some major bucks, and that's U.S. cash, not necessarily Canadian. the show itself has really matured into not just a meet, but an event. It's something that you want to go to. It's something that you want to support. It's something that you want to be a part of. And so that's why when you see fans that are putting their sweat and tears into something that's such as a convention, or even on a smaller scale, such as, you know, us doing a podcast, or somebody doing a, you know, like Justin doing on a website. You want to make sure that you support them to the fullest, because, you know, it's fans understand what other fans want, and these guys up in Canada have hit the nail on the head for two consecutive years with the concepts that they've been passing out, with not only individual unique figures but different takes on vehicles. And I mean, you can't speak enough about the silver vac metal hate tank that they came out with 2 years ago. I mean, it's still a grail his tank for a lot of folks. If you collect all the his tanks, you don't have the hate, you don't have all the his tanks. So simple as that. But it is a good time. It's unlike Joe Con, it's 1 day, but actually this year they'll be putting it to 2 days. Well, you'll have a preview night on the 17th and then the full show on the 18th. But if you've never been to a Joe Con and you have a passport and you can get up to Toronto on this particular weekend on the 17th and 18th of June, do it. By all means, get up there and support the show and support, you know, the fans that take care of us, and they know what we're looking at in terms of, you know, what makes a good show and what makes a good set. So if you guys have any questions concerning, let me know, and we can definitely talk more about that in discussion about what Canada Con's like versus the regular Joe convention, or just the general experience.
I think one thing that Canada Con does that's pretty cool is they get some pretty special guests that arrive. I was just looking at the list for this year's. Not only do they have Hasbro Canada, which will once again be attending, but they also have Ron Rudat, the designer and artist from the Real American Hero line, that's a pretty big get, I think, for the Canadian convention. So he's going to be there with his son Tristan, talking about the documentary that they've been working on for a while now, about basically the genesis of Real American Hero during the 80s, how it started, the people involved, and hopefully there'll be some sort of screening of that, because I've seen the trailer on YouTube and it looks pretty neat. In addition to Ron, there's also going to be an artist. His name's Valentine Delandro, who worked on the 2008 G.I. Joe Declassified series with Larry Hama. And then Mark Bellamo, who is, of course, did the G.I. Joe, the Ultimate Guide to G.I. Joe, which basically is the perfect print way to take a look at your collections. And then two other guests are Jason Liu, who does all the art for JoeCanuck.com. And he also does the Joe Canadian convention exclusive comic as well. And then finally, but definitely not least, it's James Cavanaugh Jr., who just produced the new Real American Hero collection, a guide to the second generation of O-ring G.I. Joe figures, which basically covers the new sculpt era. So some pretty neat guests, and there's also going to be a few more announced, so they say. So it should be a good chance for people to get to meet some people that have been pretty involved with G.I. Joe over the last 30 years.
Well, because it's a smaller show, also, you'll get more one-on-one time with the special guest. You'll get to, you know, hear more from Mark about what he's learned when he was interviewing Larry Hama when he was doing his book. You'll get to talk to, you know, Ron more about what he was thinking of when he was doing up the Cobra logo, and it's really cool to get the one-on-one aspect. At the larger convention, when you see these guys at the larger conventions, it's like, you know, there's a line a mile long to talk to these people, and they kind of got to burn through people really quick. And so you can probably invest your discussion time a lot better up at the Canada convention when you're talking to these people. You get to learn a lot more that maybe you wouldn't have caught at the larger convention, or just simply didn't have time to talk to them because of too many people demanding their time there. So a little bit more personal. And it's really great to see James actually being a special guest. He's kind of the fan turned now, you know, Joe celebrity with his book. And he's so far, the book has done extremely well. It's sold many, many copies. He's burning through his initial allotment, which is good. So the guys up in Canada, he's going to have books for you guys. He'll begrudgingly give you autographs. He doesn't like to do that too much. He says we had to talk him into bringing Sharpies to the Joe Con, because we told him people wanted to sign his book. He's like, nah, who wants me to sign their book? So he will be signing books, whether he likes it or not, up in Canada. And it should be a good time, in case anyone's wondering, it's $40. So I think it'll be roughly about the same Canadian, but definitely a nice list of people for a one-day smaller show. They got their act together up there. They got some good folks.
I think rather than have Gene sign the book, I'm going to find a picture of him dressed as Crystal Ball and have him sign that. That costume still cracks me up till today.
Yeah, he might not necessarily want to see too many of those photos selling his book, but I mean, take a look at the picture that he's got up on that's his promo shot that they have up on the website, and if you notice on the blazer, that's the Springfield Country Club logo that was on the San Diego Comic-Con Cobra Commander. And he actually copied it, sent them out to make it, and he had a handful of them. I got one. I know a couple other people have one, but the whole Springfield Country Club, and then he has his two up. I believe that's Windchill and his art behind him as well, and he's got the whole serious, studious look of pointing into to the book at something important. But he asked if a pipe would have been too much over the top, and we said yeah.
Yeah, I think it's borderline right now.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey, James is a serious guy. He won't admit it, but he's a serious guy. He spent 5 years working on this book, but it'll be great to see. I know Mark saw some early works of his book as well, so it'll be great to see, you know, how the two guides side by side fit. And generally, I know that the CanadaCon caters a lot to the customizing community of the Joe community, portion of the community. And, you know, there's virtually nothing that covered that period, that 10-year period from 97 to 2007. So that's kind of an important thing to customizers now, that, you know, they can see everything, and they don't have to, you know, if you see Snake Eyes and you flip to the right page of James' book, it's better than flipping through the 45 different versions of them on YoJo.com. Not to say anything that's bad with YoJo.com, I'm just saying it's probably easier to find it in James' book.
All right. And just in case you want more information about the Canadian G.I. Joe Convention, they can be reached in about 14 different ways. You can go to CanadianJoeCon.com. That's their main site for the actual convention itself. You can also find them on Facebook and on YouTube, and also on Twitter. It's twitter.com/CanadianJoeCon.
Greg, I have to correct you. It's if you want to find more about the Canadian JoeCon.
Ah, yes.
Sorry. I had to. One a night.
I know you're biting your tongue.
Hey, we make fans all over the world now. But yeah, or you can also check them out if you're listening to us in Canada and you're not familiar with the Canadian collecting community up there, you can also catch them all, not just the Canada convention, but just all Canadian collectors for the most part, at joecanuck.com. And then, of course, you'll find all the links into the Canadian Con from there. Registration, I believe, has begun. I think the pre-registration for the initial 25 sets is possibly sold out. I don't know. You might want to check the website for details. But I believe regular registration or paper registration is now open. Go over to the site, download, fill out the paperwork. You do need a passport. If you are an American citizen or a non... Let's put it this way. If you are a non-Canadian and you want to go to the Canadian Con, you need to have a passport. Or the passport card if you're one of the border states. I believe you can get that if you're one of the border states between the U.S. and Canada. But other than that, you need to have a passport and to cross the border or to fly in. We are about 2 months out, I think, from CanadaCon, 3 months out from CanadaCon. So you're getting into the window where if you don't have your paperwork submitted for your passport, which includes your photo and all and your money for the passport and all that, it's going to be cutting it close. I've seen people get a passport back recently as little as 3 weeks. So if you are thinking about it and you don't have a passport, go download the form, go to your post office, and send away for your passport, and you should get it probably by the time Con gets here. So keep that in mind. If you're a non-Canadian traveling to Canada, you need your passport.
Good idea. Yeah, that's a big thing if you want to travel out of the States anymore. And as Gary mentioned, JoeCanuck.com is the home for Canadian-based Joe fans. And one thing that they do that's really cool is the monthly newsletter, which is a PDF really nicely produced with just, it has all sorts of neat stuff, especially now that we're getting closer to the convention. They're releasing the art for the convention-exclusive figures. And I'll send you guys a link to it real quick, but there's a trooper that's coming out this year. It's called the Coyote Trooper, and I am fascinated to find out what it's going to be made of because the artwork is just really cool on it. I just sent you guys both a link.
I believe they said that there's going to be a couple of those in the set. A couple of those is for army building or the army builders of the set. So I agree. I'm definitely looking forward to some non-production, high-quality army builders.
Yeah, so it looks like two of them will come with a set, and then there's also, they've released a picture of Canadian Joe's first official member, which is Valkyrie, which is a female sporting a bodysuit. It looks pretty interesting. Curious to see. I believe they're going to release the pictures of some of the figures next month in the newsletter, so should be neat to see what they're actually going to look like. And then also, I should mention this, starting probably this week sometime, they're going to have a contest that's called Hunt the Canuck. It's the Canadian JoeCon contest. You'll be find more information on that on generalsjoes.com and also joecanuck.com. Basically, a way to win the 2011 JoeCon t-shirts, a complete set of Joe Canuck trading cards, a signed Larry Hama card, all sorts of other neat stuff. So keep your eye out for both of those. You can win some free stuff.
And that's going to make its way around to other sites as well, not just General's Joe's, but you'll find that it's another way to kind of build awareness around the community through other sites. So even though it's not going to hit your favorite site, there's incentive to check out the rest of the community to take part in the contest, because this contest will be traveling around in different parts to other sites.
All right, it's very cool. You guys have anything else to add about the Canadian convention?
Chuck, you've been quiet.
One thing I'm curious about is, what do they make the Canadian JoeCon figures out of? Do they use the O-ring style, or do they use the modern style that, you know, that we've seen the last couple of years from G.I. Joe that takes off of the Microman series from Japan?
Now, starting with the Hate Tank set 2 years ago, they moved to the modern era construction. Where they've used other parts from other modern era sets. And starting with last year, I believe they were getting some custom head sculpts from some of the master casters that we have in the community. Say that real slow without butchering it, but master casters that we have in the community. And hey, they pulled it off really, really nice. So again, if you're a modern era collector, these are modern era sets, just like the big club, and but really, you know, I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done with, I believe that the Canadian sets are probably, they're right up there, if not better, in quality in terms of what you're getting back from the collector's club, and in terms of your investment and the way it will explode in value, you will never see these sets go for as cheap as they do, you know, when you pick yours up at the con. I believe that Hate Tank set still goes for $600 easy. Last year's set is right up there. So I would expect that this particular set, watch those eBay auctions like immediately following. I bet you're gonna probably see $1,000, maybe $1,500 for some of this stuff that people want it so bad. But it's great stuff.
Yeah, I think the one that came out last year, the Ice Guard, that is perhaps one of the best looking troop builders I remember seeing in a long, long time. It is just fantastic. Just the part combinations on it. I mean, it uses Serpentor's skirt, and it makes it look awesome. I mean, just the black and the purple and the silver. It's, yeah. Kudos to the Joe Canuck guys. They do some great job with the figures.
Now let me ask you, like, who makes these? Like, these are not like official licensed by Hasbro. These are all made by, you know, the guys behind the convention, right?
Yes. I don't, and that's probably where we might want to get Mike Hedl involved and do maybe get him on the show where we can talk a little bit about the set and how much Hasbro is or is not involved with him on the set. They've only reproduced one Joe that came out in the regular line, and that was Backstop 2 years ago. All their other characters are completely unique to their mythos and to the Canadian convention. So most of the stuff that you're going to get is something new, something unique, something not seen before. But there is the exception of Backstop. And the reason why Backstop's in there, it's the only Canadian member of the G.I. Joe team that came out in the regular line.
Yeah, didn't they check with Hasbro and say, hey, is it okay if we make Backstop? And Hasbro's like, yeah, there's no way we're ever going to produce a Backstop figure.
Wasn't there a character named Sub-Zero who was like an Arctic trooper and he was Canadian too?
Everyone go to Yo-Jo and look under the category S and see if we can find Sub-Zero. I don't know.
Well, it's not important. You know, I'm probably wrong, you know. Because you know what it was? My problem was I bought him when I was in Canada, so it's quite possible they slapped a Canadian flag on him.
Well, yeah, they did do that, and this is another thing that's kind of interesting. When you do go up to Canada and you go into the sales floor portion of the show, you will see those items, that the Joe items were sold up in Canada, and they did have the maple leaf on them instead of the stars and stripes.
Yeah.
Which is definitely interesting. So if you as a child bought anything up in Canada, chances are, yeah, it probably had the maple leaf on it.
I got the Lotus Chopper, the Lotus Helicopter, and the stickers had the maple leaf instead of the stars and stripes.
Yeah, very cool. And if you don't have any of that type of stuff and you go up to Canada Con, you will find that stuff up there and you can add something to your collection that you've never had before.
And just an aside, Sub-Zero is from Smithfield, Rhode Island. According to the American file card, and the Canadian one, maybe it's different.
Wait, I'm not even sure if he's the right character I'm thinking of. does he look like he's wearing like a hooded parka?
Yes.
And he comes with like a 50 caliber chain gun and a mortar launcher?
Yep, that's him.
Okay, I was wrong. It happens.
Yeah, it does.
All right, so, any questions concerning Canada Con? Hit the website or feel free to drop us a line at joe@classified.com. So what do we got next?
All right. Next, we got a segment that we're going to call Collecting 101. All of us are collectors of various sizes, I guess, basically. But everyone has the same stuff in common, which is how do you store your stuff? I mean, all of us have tons of figures and dozens of vehicles, but when it comes down to how do you find places for this, this is something that all of us have to deal with once in a while. So, Chuck, what do you do for your collection for storing it?
Boxes. Basically, the easiest thing is when I started getting the 25th anniversary figures, I was getting the cases off of the Big Bad Toy Store, and they were coming, you know, the sealed cases. So I just cut them open, take the card out, open the figure, pose them a little. Yeah, okay, this is nice, huh? Yeah, he can't hold his weapon, which I said a lot. he's not standing straight, which I said a lot.
Nice.
He can't even bend his knees, which I said a lot. And then, you know, when I was done, I, you know, put the figure away, back in the card, back in the box. And, you know, same thing with the vehicles. Now, the older figures that I had that I actually played with as a child, there is a closet in my room, which basically the sliding door came off a hinge, and it's next to impossible to get that open, so they're basically trapped in there. It's like a tomb, the tomb of the unknown toys, because I really don't I have an idea of what's in there, but, and you know, once in a while I'll see them, but, you know, dust covered, so I'm sure most of them, the figures, the O-rings have dried out and probably are broken to the touch. But that's about it. I really don't display anything, and you know, and I end up, what happens is they usually came in a larger, when I would have a pile of loot order from BBTS, they came in those much larger boxes. So it's not like I have Joe dedicated boxes. It's basically the case of that wave of figures is in a box with you know, a Yamato 172, you know, VF 20, YF 21, you know, a Takara Masterpiece Grimlock and whatever else. So that, and that's all there, and that's in my basement, which I'm running out of space soon. And, you know, it's just a problem I'm going to have to deal with sooner than later. But what do you do, Gary?
Well, I don't mix my Transformers and my Joes, first of all.
That's just not right.
Yeah, that's not right, man. Keep your chocolate out of my peanut butter. No, it's no. I, you know, Chuck is the guy on staff here that is definitely the guy that collects both sides of the hobby. My wife prevents me from collecting more than one hobby, so I keep a Joe. How do I collect? Well, I'm so many different levels of Joe. Of course, I got, you know, the 25th stuff just like everyone else. And most of that stuff gets open. There's very few of it that I keep carded. Variants I'll keep carded. Such as, let's say, Wraith. I'll keep a clear Wraith carded. I'll keep a Black Timber Snake Eyes carded, and, you know, some of that type of stuff. Snow Job's one of my favorite characters, so I'll keep a carded version of him. Those type of thing. And if there's any other type of figure that kind of tickles my fancy, I'll keep him carded. And typically those get hung on the wall in collector's cases. I'm not a big AFA guy yet. I do need to send some stuff off to AFA, though, at some point. But eventually I'll start getting a better collection of AFA items. But my Joe room really overfloweth. I have, you know, all my, everything from my vintage to new sculpt to, you know, a small collection. When I say small, probably like less than 10, 12 inch figures. And then all my comics. And so that really can fill up a space, rather quickly. And at one end of the room, you have the flag. So you can only imagine, you know, again, how much room that's taking up. So you kind of gotta rotate it really. The vintage stuff doesn't come out too much, mainly because most of the O-rings, I mean, I took really good care of my stuff as a kid. I have all my parts, I have all my accessories, you know, my figures don't have a lot of discolorization, not a lot of broken thumbs, that type of thing. But, you know, O-rings, you know, rubber's going to only last so long, and that's going to deteriorate, so unfortunately a lot of them need new O-rings. So what I'm going to have mostly on display are new sculpt, which I'll have out, and then the 25th stuff that I'll have out. But lately, as I've been getting more into the other side of Joe, which is the prototype, pre-production, that type of thing, so I'm getting more artwork that's going on the wall, some pieces that I like to share with you guys sometime, some more rare pieces, such as, you know, like City Strike Scarlet, or my carded movie Cobra Commander with the hoses, you know, those type of things kind of go in places of honor, it's keeping it rotating, keeping them out of the sunlight, trying to watch the dust collection. and then, you know, always making sure that humidity's not killing your comics, which the room's pretty much dry, so my comics aren't sucking up a lot of water because it can get pretty humid in the summertime here in Indiana. But that's really how I try to do my collection on display. When I get my stuff, because I'm an opener, I made the mistake very early on when I open things, they just kind of go into another box or pile, and then I quickly found myself losing pieces. And especially with the 25th Joes and the Pursuit of Cobra Joes that are just accessory laden, you can't really afford to lose any pieces, otherwise you're going to have to spend another $8 to go back out and get the figure. Not to say that I'm a cheap collector, obviously I'm in the prototype market, so, you know, $8 to me shouldn't be too much of a problem, considering I'll spend, you know, $400 for a his tank. but, you know, it's like, let's take low light. I mean, that little bullet wants to get lost. I mean, it has a mind, it says, I want to get lost. As soon as you open the package, I can't tell you how many people have thrown that thing away. I can't tell many people how many opened it up right away, and then all of a sudden it's disappeared into the fabric of their carpet.
That thing is so tiny. It boggles my mind that they could even produce it that small and get it through like the approval process for kids. I mean, that thing is just, it's awesome, but man, is it small.
So what I've started doing is right away, figure into a baggie. figure, and each figure is going to have its own baggie. And then when I'm ready to display them, I can pull the baggie out. I know I have all the parts, including, you know, figure stand, all the knives, little bullets, backpacks, whatever. Everything's in the baggie, ready to go. And then, you know, when I'm done displaying it, everything back in the baggie, zip it up, back into a box or a Rubbermaid container, basically.
Gotcha. I do the same sort of thing with Rubbermaid containers. I have two or three of those that are full of vehicles and other just miscellaneous parts. But the actual figures themselves, what I did was I bought Plano fishing tackle boxes, the clear ones where you can put in the inserts for however big you want the actual individual spaces to be.
Good idea.
And you can fit like, I want to say like 12 or 16 figures in there, depending on if you want to double stack them or not. But so what I do is I just put the figure in there, and then I put, if the accessories are small, I put those in a little plastic baggie with them. And then for the 25th line, I put the figure stands in with them as well. I mean, I don't use those black figure stands for displaying them, just because I like the clear stands instead. But I think it's cool just to keep them all together so I can keep it organized. It makes it a little easier. So, yeah, that's the gist of my collection's all in like six or seven of those Plano fishing tackle boxes. And then I also have I try to do this just because we have the extra room right now. I have a rotating display going on where every month I swap out what's on top of my dresser. So right now I have all of my Cobra Troopers lined up in a little display case that I got from smalljoes.com. And they look, I think it helps me appreciate what I have, because if it's just stuck in a box somewhere, I never actually see what I'm buying, and I feel like, why do I even buy this? I don't even get to enjoy it a whole lot. And then also just to keep something, it's basically like redecorating the room every month. I get to see something a little different. Like last month I had a battle scene with the new Vamp and some of the new Pursuit of Cobra figures. So it just keeps it fresh for me, I guess.
And yes, that was a plug for smalljoes.com. Corey Stinson, if you're listening, you can make that out to Greg of Wisconsin. Yes, and send all your packages up there. And then when I'm done plugging you, you can make your package out to Gary from Indianapolis, and you can send it all, you know.
Yeah, I'd like some expedited shipping on that Wave 6 I have pre-ordered with him, if possible.
I just like to add, to anyone out there who has the low-light figure from Pursuit of Cobra, I do not feel sorry for you for having a small bullet to lose, because I haven't seen that figure yet, and I probably won't. So,
Well, no, you'll find it, and then you'll just lose the figure or lose the bullet just like everyone else does.
I'm not sure about that, but that's
and
finding and not losing it.
And while we're talking about figure stands, let's go ahead and plug Marauder John one more time. If you haven't seen the figure stands that he sells, the interlocking figure stands that will accommodate a vintage as well as a modern era figure, definitely hit his website if you're running out of figure stands or you're just tired of the Joe figure stands that you kind of get in the package because they're bigger and you may be limited on space for display. These interlocking stands are pretty nice, and you can get about 20 of them for, I'm going to say, about $10 or so from. Go check the website. He's got them in different colors, and if you got a big vintage and modern era collection, it will accommodate both, so you don't have to worry about mix and matching.
And the nice thing with those, and I've seen Small Joe's does them too, is that you can get them in either clear or black, because everyone has their preference for what they want. I like the clear stands because my display case has like a dais that's also clear, so that way you can see everything that's underneath it as well. But yeah, when your figures are all lined up and they have all the nice stands up there, and they look pretty excellent, I think. But yes, for anything else for how you guys get your stuff stored after you open it?
No, that's pretty much it for me. Chuck?
Yeah, I got nothing. I mean, I was the easiest guy. Yeah.
All right. So next, we want to give a quick plug to a few other podcasts that we listen to. I mean, we're definitely not the first, and we won't be the last podcast that discusses G.I. Joe. But the big one that I've been listening to lately it's called The Foosh Cast. That's thefoosh.com, their official podcast. And I don't know if you guys have not been there before, but it's basically a website dedicated to action figures, but they primarily focus on like Marvel superheroes and DC superheroes, but they also have a pretty active, basically everything from Masters of the Universe collection, a G.I. Joe, Transformers. Good spot to check out. It's three different guys from there. The Scream Man's the main one, Craig. But they talk about just different G.I. or different toy lines, new stuff they got. And then they talk about G.I. Joe quite a bit as Craig got back into G.I. Joe within the last 6 months. So it's kind of interesting hearing someone that was into it as a kid and now they just got right back into it and how they're learning about all these neat vehicles that they never knew of and stuff like that. So give it a try if you want to listen to some more podcasts. It's FooshCast.TheFoosh.com. And then, Chuck, did you have one that you were looking to plug as well?
Yeah, oh, yes. I'd like to plug the Cybertron.com TwinCast. This is actually a relatively new podcast in the grand scheme of things when it comes to toy collecting. It is a Transformers podcast. If many of you out there are like me who, you know, mix your chocolate and peanut butter, it's fun. I mean, it's fun. They don't go that long, usually. I mean, no more than an hour. Ryan, who is Cybertron.com, is a really nice guy, as well as Counterpunch, and who's one of the regular contributors to the podcast. And you actually can learn something from it. So please check it out.
Well, go ahead. I would like to plug the granddaddy of all G.I. Joe podcasts, and that's G.I. Joe Review. You have Ghost and Sidewinder, and those guys have been doing this for a couple years now. You can find them on iTunes fairly easily. They haven't done one in a while, but I suspect they'll get back on it here soon. Basically, if you're a fan of the comics, Larry Hama, that type of thing, what they do is, and especially if you, let's put it this way, if you're a fan of the comics, or let's say you're vaguely familiar with the Marvel history, and you haven't got any of the trade paperbacks and you want to listen to a review of some of those issues, they go through them in order one by one. So if you want to learn about issue 21, hit them up on their podcast when they talk about issue 21. It is the granddaddy of all the podcasts, all the Joe podcasts. They've been around the longest, probably the best in terms of a comic review for Joe. Hit them up. Look for them on iTunes. G.I. Joe Review.
Yeah, that G.I. Joe Review is actually what got me into reading the Marvel run. I had never read it as a kid, and then I saw that they had started doing the podcast, so I picked up the trades when IDW started doing the reprints of classic G.I. Joe, and it got me hooked. They do a great job of breaking down episodes or issues and then tying in storylines from 20 issues ago that gets picked back up, and they do a very good job. So, again, go check them out. Give them a listen. All right. Did you guys get anything new in this week for G.I. Joe related?
Well, sorta. I mean, it's I don't have it physically in my possession, but last week the paranoia that has been running rampant in the Transformers community finally got to me, and I went to BBTS and ordered figures that I figure I'll never see on the shelf. And while I was there, I figured, you know what, why don't hedge my bets? And I pre-ordered, which is now in stock and on its way to me, the Series 4 2011 Pursuit of Cobra figures. So I have a Temple Guardian, Snake Eyes, Crazy Legs, Rock Viper, Regular Viper, Iron Grenadier, and Croc-Master coming to me soon. And I actually didn't notice this, but that Iron Grenadier, he's got two strikes against him now, because besides not having that black Gestapo-like suit, he comes with that, like, dingy little sniper rifle that the Paraviper came with. That I swear, I've never found one without that didn't have the bayonet bent in package. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm really just looking forward to the Rock Viper, the Regular Viper, and maybe Crazy Legs. But other than that, not sure if I mentioned this, but Caped Crusader on Twitter, he kind of helped me out. I've been looking for a black Pursuit of Cobra Hits tank. And, you know, what had happened is, since it was a running variant, you know, Hasbro was not going to change the packaging to distinguish between the brown and the black. But basically what they said was, you know, there was the little number, the UPC number or whatever, or not UPC, but the there's like an item number stamped on the box.
That would be the factory code, the factory stamp.
Yeah, that would tell you if it's black, or these would be the these Black Kiss tanks were shipping in the cases with the Fury and Vamp 2.0. So you would know that if you see a Fury and a Vamp on the shelf with a Hiss, it's the Black Kiss. Problem is, I've yet to see, and I probably will not see, the Fury or the Vamp on shelves yet. So they've been ending up in Ross stores. Ross, or a discount store. This is where you can also find that supposedly canceled Target wave of the Alpha Movie vehicles, which included a Sandstorm with the Ram motorcycle. So he was nice enough to pick one up and ship it out to me, and you know, I've had that for actually about a week now. I haven't had a chance to put it together yet. I actually didn't realize it was in so many pieces, but I'm looking forward to it. And it was funny, if you remember the last podcast, I was questioning the number of troopers for the desert campaign in the Pursuit of Cobra. Well, it turns out that this Hiss tank must have been planned back when Pursuit of Cobra was going to be in lockstep with the movie, The Rise of Cobra, because on the package, there are a battalion of desert troopers, I'm sorry, desert vipers surrounding the tank. So I guess those were meant to be the troopers for this campaign. You know, and, which again, I never saw those guys on, I never saw the desert vipers on shelves anywhere. Yeah, but that's just me. But other than that, that's about it for this week, what I got in terms of Joe's stuff.
You'll have to give us a review when you get the rest of Wave 6 in. That must be, if it's in stock already, that must be shipping pretty soon then, right?
Well, you know what it was, is I actually did not have it ship until today, just because I was waiting for one more thing to come in before I sent out my pile of loot. So I should be probably getting it next week. Okay. You know, I want to say Thursday, but I don't have a tracking number yet, so who knows?
Okay, cool. You know, Gary, what about you?
Well, the interesting thing I took out of that is there's paranoia in the Transformer collectors community.
Say it ain't so.
Anyways, before I get myself in trouble with all the Transformer collectors that are listening to our podcast and alienate all of them. yeah, actually, I got a Hiss tank this week, too. Actually, I've had it a couple weeks, but the final parts came in for it. I got to thank Gary Head for helping me out on this one. I got to point out that he has an awesome hairdo, according to what he wants me to say about him from a Facebook post that I got from him concerning this podcast. But I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with, Greg, you probably are, maybe not so much Chuck, the DTC line and the DTC Hiss tank that came out right around the Sigma 6 time. Yeah, there was a hand-painted Crimson version that they were using as a test shot mock-up type thing, that they were going to come out the Crimson version. Never did. There's only a handful of them around, one of which belongs to the owner of Joe Declassified. If you hit joedeclassified.com, go to the main page and download, I believe, issue 2. There's a story on his, but there's very few of them in the world, and I managed to pick one up mostly complete and in really good shape. I already kind of hinted at how much I already paid for it earlier. But, yeah, this is a piece to my collection that definitely will go on one of the upper shelves in a dust-free area. So that's kind of what I got this week. I can take some pics and post them up here soon. But that's it.
That's pretty awesome. That outdoes what I have, both of you guys. The only thing I got in was I finally got that canopy for the Tomahawk that I've been rebuilding, and the guy mentioned that it was going to be a bit warped, and he was right. I was looking online. Someone said that you can take the canopies, and if you put them in boiling water for like 15 seconds, and then put some tape on them to kind of bend them in the shape they need to be. That might help a little bit.
And then, yeah.
I'll probably use some floor polish on it to try to get some of the scratches out and hopefully take away some of the yellowness.
For the yellowing, I know that you can try using peroxide, I think sodium peroxide, but that's actually a little dangerous. You would have to wear gloves and be careful of a splash because it can irritate the skin.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's actually what you said about the boiling water. I don't know if you guys know, but that also works with if you have hands. Then these new softer hands on the figures, if they get bent out of shape, you can actually use a blow dryer that you just blow dry them for a couple seconds, bend the hand back into shape, and then stick it in a freezer so it will cool off, and then you can actually your hands can hold weapons and stuff.
I'll have to give that a try. I know there's a couple of figures that the hands came out of the package and they were a little bit squished, so I'll give that a try when I do the canopy. But all right, I think that's it for what we got in this week.
All right, well, see where we are on the schedule. Yeah, we are getting close on time, so if anyone's listening to us on their commute, they're probably already in the parking lot. So let's talk a little bit about next episode and wrap the thing up. So on top of us coming up with an item or two that's on our Joe mind, we wanted to toss out our first group participation topic out to the fandom. Go on to Joe to Classify, and that's how you would find the thread and go ahead and give us your feedback. But here's what we're talking about. I saw this in a post a long, long, long time ago. It's a dead thread. I can't even remember what it was. But it was the lexicon of hated Joe words. So if you've ever read a thread and or a post and there's a phrase or a word concerning Joe that kind of turns your stomach or makes you just want to beat the poster over there, with your keyboard over their head, keep that word in mind. Come over to Joe Declassified, post in a thread, tell us what that word is, and we'll talk about it next week or on our next podcast, whenever that might be. Let me give you something to start with. I hate the word Joeverse with a passion. Give us your hated words, and we will talk about them in our next podcast. Also, before we go, we just wanted to put a shout-out to the community that at some point here in the near future, we'll be expanding the staff of What's on Joe Mine. So we're going to need you. If you're good with graphics and or audio mixing, we're looking for folks like you. There's no pay. The hours are long. There's no benefits. But you'll get all the credit for every episode we do. So if you're looking to do a little bit more with your hobby other than just posting on a board, now's the time to get involved. So hit us up, and we'll give you that contact information again for everybody. Any questions for the show, any comments, any ideas for a topic, general comments, what have you. Hey, even if you want to sponsor us, whatever, head on over to JoeToClassified.com, go into the blah-de-blah-blah off-topic forum, yes, blah-de-blah-blah, find the What's on Joe Mine thread, post what is on Joe Mine, leave us feedback, tell us, hey, you're thinking about interested in getting involved, and that type of thing. And if you got any topic ideas, who knows, we may just talk about it in our next show, and hey, maybe invite you in to be part of the discussion. You can also, of course, PM us on the classified as well, so just look for our aliases, and you can find us, our podcast hosted on whatsonjoemine.podbean.com, and also on iTunes, like I said before. So that about wraps it up for this episode. Guys, you got any parting words?
Keep on keeping on, everybody.
Wow, what is this, the 70s? thanks for watching, everyone. Thanks for watching. Hey, look at this. Wow. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast, and please participate in the interactive topics and I'm really interested in what you're going to come up with, and have a good day.
So for Greg and Chuck, I'm Gary. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next episode.